This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Buttress, host of Southern Remedies, Relatively Speaking. Join the conversation every Tuesday at 11 as we dissect issues that are important to you and your family. That's Relatively Speaking, Tuesdays only on MPB Think Radio.
Good morning.
It is Deep South Dining on MPB Think Radio. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning,
you seem
Mel.
Startled over there.
Yeah, a little startled this morning. It's okay. Monday morning, yeah. But there's some startling things going on.
Well, for example, it's April Fool's Day.
I know, I'm startled.
But this show ain't no joke.
It is no joke, but I tell you what was startling to me.
What's
is
that?
I was just looking on Cooking and Coping and just found a post by one of our top contributors, Amanda Ellison Anglin. And I was startled to learn that you can actually freeze peeps.
I know that was big news.
It was big news to me. I was, I'm a little taken away by that.
You weren't sure what to do with all the extra peeps?
Right. But, yeah, she has them lined up. She has purple, yellow, and pink lined up in her refrigerator or freezer.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
Shout out to the Delta Hot Tamale Festival in Greenville. It was selected, voted USA Today's Best Specialty Food Festival in 2024. So congratulations to the Delta Hot Tamale Festival.
You know, that's really something. And I know both of us were around for the founding of this. And to see what Julia Reed and all the crew up in Greenville came up with. And here we are today.
Including the Hot Tamale Queens.
Including all the literary people that come and eat hot tamales.
Well, it was a very active weekend, as it was Easter, on Cooking and Coping that you mentioned before. There were a lot of cool things posted on there. A lot of people put their Easter spread on there. And everybody looks so nice on social media in their best Easter wear.
In their Easter bonnets.
Bonnets, suits. I saw a lot of seersucker, a lot of white bucks.
Well, it's that time of year.
It is.
And the old thing is now we can wear white because it's after Easter.
Whew. I'm delighted to know that that's permissible.
I know, it is permissible. But the one thing I really enjoyed on Cooking and Coping, our Facebook page this week, was Tim Pierce actually posted a series of photos on making his famous The Bunny Salad.
Green salad.
The green salad that everyone was so intrigued by last week with bunny ears, but it was kind of a step by step, but not all in a row. He just teased it through the Easter cooking period. I found that amazing.
Yes. And Marissa and I were talking before the show. She wasn't familiar with the green salad. She certainly knew about congealed, but you were educated by Tim Pierce.
I was definitely. And that was like the cutest little salad I've ever seen.
Marissa, now we know what to give you for Christmas.
A bunny mold?
You have a bunny mold.
Here comes Peter Cotton.
Yeah, in your future. And my goodness, Malcolm, what about that soup that was on your table?
Oh, man, that French Provençal.
Piste du
Provençal. Kara, reckon back to her days when she was studying abroad for a semester in Aix-en-Provence, and she said that the host where she stayed, the hostess, the woman whose home she stayed in, made this soup regularly, and so she decided to make it for Easter. Delicious. It's a vegetable-based soup with pasta in it, and then it has after it's cooked, you add basil paste or a basil.
The piste
to the top, and also Parmesan cheese. It was just delightful.
Well, you know, some people think piste and pesto are the same thing, and they are not. They're very similar. Piste, like basil, has, piste, like pesto, has basil, garlic, and olive oil. But piste has no pine nuts or any other kind of nuts. And sometimes with piste, you can add, like, chopped tomatoes,
Yes,
but
tomatoes.
There you go. I saw some tomatoes actually floating in your soup.
Zucchini, peppers, really a wonderful vegetable broth with the chicken. It did have a chicken. I said it was vegetables with a chicken broth, but it was just a delightful soup.
And I saw a beautiful piece of pimento cheese toast peeking out on the side of the meal.
We love pimento cheese.
So was this your Easter meal?
Well, the Easter meal was actually last night. We had a baked sea bass using that same sort of basil spread on the top. It was really great. But the soup was throughout the weekend, and then I posted a sandwich I actually had for Easter lunch, which I had made myself, because we didn't have Easter lunch. We had Easter dinner. And what about you? I think you had a crowd out at your house.
Ooh, I had a wang dang doodle. They were all the Palmers were out there in full force, and I did a boneless leg of lamb because my husband John had been having a hankering for lamb, and I had never cooked it. But we spent Saturday watching videos on YouTube on how to cook boneless leg of lamb, and yeah, that was fun. Learned a lot, and you know, it's interesting because you have to flatten it out so it's all kind of the same
thickness.
Yeah, the same thickness, and then you roll it. And we marinated ours overnight. It was absolutely delicious.
What did you marinate it in?
Marinated in olive oil, lemon juice, and lots of garlic.
Mm.
And rosemary.
And some rosemary as well.
Yeah, but the hit of the day for me were the deviled eggs that my stepdaughter Susan Amaro made. They were smoked salmon deviled eggs. And Tim Pierce
talked about
this last week. I went, smoked salmon? What? And here she comes with this platter of beautiful eggs, and she got the recipe from Food and Wine magazine, but they were delicious. So I know Tim calls them dressed eggs because
he
couldn't say devil at his...
Growing up in Boonville, you weren't allowed to say devil.
You said dressed.
Say dressed. It's much more proper.
So anyway, Tim, if you're listening out there, I'm sorry that I made a face about smoked salmon, deviled eggs, dressed eggs, because they were delicious.
So, you know, coming up this Saturday in Meridian, it is the Sip and Savor event. And we are, our next whole episode on the show will be dedicated to the headlining chef of that event, which takes place this Saturday at the Max in Meridian, Saturday, April 6th. So I got really tickled, Carol. I reposted a photograph of the first meal ever served at Howl & Mow's back in 1986. And John Maxwell, the writer and actor, Oh, Mr. Faulkner, Do You Write, was the first diner. And so I have this black and white photograph that Hubert Worley took of John and I sitting in the dining room at Howl & Mow's. And John had just eaten his first meal that we ever served. It was a roast, open-faced roast beef sandwich, and he was having a cup of coffee. So I posted this, and it reposted it. It generated all sorts of conversation, but the most hilarious thing was from my old friend in Hattiesburg, Tommy Connor, who is a musician who used to play in Omar and the Howlers. He played in the Viewmasters, but I don't know what triggered it, but from that post, he triggered – this post, from that photo, he triggered the post about the first time that he met me. He was playing in a band called the Viewmasters. They came to Jackson, and he said, I was out in back of George Street. I was out in back of George Street grilling frog legs while they set up and did their sound check.
I can visualize that.
I don't even remember it, but there's probably no question.
You know, you evoked a lot of memories with that picture. It was a great picture with you and John Maxwell. And how old is Howl & Mow's now?
Old. 27, 28, 30, no, 37. I can't even get my decades correct. 37.
January 8th, 1986.
Well, we actually opened in 85, but we served our first meal in 86.
Right.
So we were already open doing shows. But anyway, it's been a long, long time, I'll tell you that. All right, here's what's going to happen, Carol. We're going to air a pre-recorded conversation you and I had with Chef Tori Loomis, who is the headlining chef of this event. She's a hunter-gatherer. I think her handle is Gathering Girl. Do I have that right?
Yes, indeed.
So stay tuned for that interview and more. This is Deep South Dining on MPB Think Radio. All right, welcome back to Deep South Dining right here on MPB Think Radio. Carol and I are glad to have you. We're always happy to have people on the radio listening to our chitter chatter and twerping in the springtime. Carol, how are you today?
Yes, indeed. I'm wonderful now.
So we've got a special guest today.
Indeed we do.
Would you like to do the honors?
We have Victoria Tori Loomis from Louisiana. She's going to be headlining that whoop-de-doo, the Sip and Savor.
Sip and Savor at the Max in Meridian.
I know, yes. And I believe you are going to be going to it.
I'm
going to
do what I can to get there. It's in the plan.
Nobody likes to sip and savor as much as you do.
Well, welcome to the show, Tori. We are glad you are here. You are the headliner this year for Sip and Savor. How's everything going in your world?
Hey there. Thank y'all for having me. Everything's going good. Things just kind of slowed down for me a little bit, gearing up for some different things, different festivals coming up this summer, Sip and Savor being top of the line.
You don't currently work at a restaurant, is that correct?
That is correct. I work for myself.
Good for you.
And I love your brand, the Gathering Girl. That really is the essence of what you're all about. You are a hunter-gatherer, and there's nothing between your kitchen and where you've hunted.
Yeah, I try really hard to keep things as close to home, if you will say. Meaning, when I cook for people, you know, a lot of times I'm cooking for hunting lodges and hunting camps and different things. Cooking what they harvest or what we've harvested and keeping things close to where they come from. It's a special thing, and it's a lot different than working in restaurants, for sure.
Well, you have had a fascinating culinary journey, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about it, especially the part about how one goes from a vegetarian to somebody who is preparing and eating all types of wild game.
From deer to duck to frog legs.
All of those things are very native to this area. Well, I shouldn't say frogs are native. They're more of an invasive. But yeah.
But they were living in your friend's crawfish pond, correct?
Yeah, they were. We love them. It's one of my favorite meals to serve people. And, you know, people, can you do frog legs? And I'm like, well, it's not in season right now, and I haven't caught any frogs. I'm not ordering any from Cisco.
You're not going to get any of those foreign frogs.
Right.
Yes, from China. I picked up some frog legs at a store that shall not be named, trying to cook them for my husband. I looked as if they were from China. It just kind of gave me the creeps.
A little too far.
A little too far from home.
So let's talk a little bit about your transformation, if you would, from being a vegetarian to a hunter-gatherer.
That's been a huge part of how I ended up where I'm at now. When I was in culinary school, I kind of learned a bit about factory farming and different ways in which our foods were processed. And the animal factory farming in particular kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I decided to go vegetarian just to kind of remove myself from that equation. I didn't want to be a part of it. And I didn't really have the knowledge or the understanding. I was like, well, I'm not going to take part in this. So I'm going to become vegetarian. I quickly learned that was not the diet for me. At the time, I was a full-time culinary student at Louisiana Culinary Institute in Baton Rouge, and I was raising two children by myself, working sometimes three jobs, but on the regular basis was in school and working two jobs.
Those were restaurant jobs? Yeah.
Yeah, not in a kitchen, though, you know, because one of the sad facts about the restaurant industry is the pay is not that great, and that was not conducive to me raising kids and paying babysitters and paying my bills and all of that. So I was bartending and waiting tables, and when I could, would hop in a kitchen somewhere. I quickly learned that was not the diet for me. I made it work. I had access to a lot of choices in Baton Rouge, whereas where I was moving home to when I finished culinary school, not so much access to vegetarian options. I kind of looked around.
Vegetarian diet is so wonderful and so healthy and makes you feel so good when you are getting all of the nutrients and all of the things you're supposed to do, but it's hard when you have children or if you're too busy. I would love to be a full-time vegetarian. I'm a part-time.
Like I said, I was able to make it work when I had access to more options. I quickly switched to pescatarian, moved back in with my parents, and we lived on a lake in Monterey, Louisiana. So I had access to fish, plenty of fish, and we'd go fishing. And my dad and I were growing a garden, and the gardening is something I fell in love with, meditative part of it. But the idea that you could grow and produce your own food was just the best thing ever. And then I started hunting and fell in love with hunting, and it lit a fire in me to go out and get my own food. And I just couldn't believe that so many people were disconnected from that. Not as much where I live, but just, you know, a few hours south. You know, I have friends in Baton Rouge and they're like, "You're doing what? You're hunting your food? You're going out?" And I'm like, "Yeah, y'all want me to bring you some deer meat? Y'all want to try some frogs?" And so I got pretty obsessed with it pretty quick. And that kind of gave me peace of mind also through some really stressful times during my life in restaurants, running kitchens and being a chef and whatnot. Any 2 days in a row I had off, I would go fishing or go hunting. It was really great for my mental health, especially then. And I kind of started thinking, how can I combine these two things that I feel like belong together? The hunting and gathering aspect of food and then building the plate, so to speak, and sharing it with others. And one thing led to another, some different career choices, and I ended up at a hunting lodge as their executive chef, and then shortly after that, resigned from that position and started doing this on my own.
Try to pinpoint for us where Concordia Parish is.
It's right across the river from Natchez, Mississippi. Vidalia is the river town. If you grow up around here, there's not really a difference in the two mm-hmm. as far as like friends and family, and everybody knows everybody. Natchez and Vidalia just kind of grouped together, except for the great big Mississippi River dividing the two.
So tell us about GatheringGirl.com and when you began that journey and what that is. And I guess that's the reason you're headlining the Sip and Savor 2024 Fest in Meridian, right?
Yeah. I was super excited when they reached out to me last year. I left when I resigned from my position at a pretty well-known hunting lodge in Catahoula Parish, I believe. I was like, what am I going to do now? I don't want to go back into restaurants. And it was in the midst of COVID.
Right.
And I was talking to my parents about it, and I was like, I think I'm just going to try to travel and cook for people. And I only want to cook for hunters for a while. And my mother and father said, "You are crazy. There's no way that's going to work." And I was like, "Oh, I think it'll work." And they were like, "No, that's insane. There's not enough business to do that." I wanted to be around people that could educate me more on the hunting aspect of things. Because I had experience in restaurants. Not that my cup was full there, but I was ready to build on the other end of that so that I could better share this story of kind of like where our food comes from and different ways in which we show appreciation for it through plating it and serving it and sharing it with people. I got a phone call from a friend, and he said, "I've got a guy coming out to bow hunt and here in Eagle Pass, Texas," which was on the border of Mexico. "If you can drive out here, you can come and cook for him. He's a pretty well-known guy in the hunting industry. You can come cook if you can do over open fire. And we've got a small stove and a little trailer out in the middle of kind of like a desert setting." I was like, "Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there next week."
It sounds like exactly what you were looking for.
It was. And I love telling the story because it reminds me of how fortunate I've been and how everything just kind of fell into place. It was living on a wing and a prayer, having a lot of faith right. in something that I did not know was going to work out. So I ended up going to Eagle Pass, Texas, and kept a job there for the hunting season, cooking for different hunters. And things really just took off pretty quickly after that. Since then, I have been booked every hunting season, and now I'm pretty much booked year-round if I want to be. I do like to take a few months right after season. February and March are kind of my take-it-easy months. Now I do quite a bit of private chef gigs during my off season, which is springtime into summertime. Usually spend most of my summers gardening and doing some recipe development, and also going out and catching fish and doing recipe development on that end. So,
what's your favorite fish?
It's fun.
What's your favorite fish to catch and prepare?
I love to catch cobia.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun to catch, and I love to eat cobia, but I'm really partial to red snapper.
So you like saltwater fish as opposed to fresh?
Oh, no. So I freshwater fish, too. I just have a soft spot for Florida.
I have a soft spot for brim and bass, because that's what I can catch, and that's what we mostly catch around here in lake fish.
Yes, and I love white perch.
Yeah, I'm a big crappie
really
fan.
Too. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about your interest in mindful eating and the movement that you were involved with around the Gathering Girl.
It kind of came naturally because I've always been a pretty high-strung person. I learned pretty quickly that I could tame some of my ADHD hyperactive ways if I was really focused on something, for one, but also if I was eating right and taking care of myself. Clean eating, I think, has a lot to do with that. I've seen it played out in my children, and then also I've experienced it personally. So,
explain the concept of clean eating for our listeners.
Yeah, I just generally try to stay away from ultra-processed foods and things that have tons and tons of ingredients. Or, you know, I'll look on the back of something and I'm like, oh, well, this product looks really good. I might like to try this, you know, marketed as this wonderful, healthy thing. And then you look on the back and there's just 30 plus ingredients, and half the ingredients I have no idea what they are.
You can't pronounce them, and you're sure as heck not going to eat them.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of the ingredients end with O-S-E, like, you know, fructose, dextrose, maltose, sugar products.
You know, different forms of sugar are not bad if they're not highly processed and highly refined,
right,
you know, and in moderation. In the restaurant industry, I mean, anybody who's listening, who's in it or has been in it, they know it's endless hours, long nights, long weekends. You get a Monday, sometimes a Tuesday off, and you have to go right back to it. And it's just go, go, go. And you kind of live off of Red Bull and Adderall, I think.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing.
That's one path.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
It took a toll on me. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And I feel really fortunate to have found a better way for myself personally. So I try as often as possible to share about, you know, just small changes you can make to kind of benefit your health and clarity. And anything with mindful eating, though, is very connected to your performance, too. So
you're going to find a wonderful audience in Meridian at the Sip and Savor event. Malcolm and I are interested in what you're going to be showcasing at the event. What are you cooking?
Yeah, so I'm going to be cooking a smoked duck gumbo. It'll also have sausage and smoked chicken in it. That came from kind of a need to get rid of some ducks.
You got to clean out the freezer so you can shoot some more ducks.
Right. And it's also a great introduction to people who say, oh, I don't like duck, it's too gamey. Right. That's something I hear 20 times a year when I'm sharing duck recipes. How do you make your duck taste good? And I'm a big fan now of just a seared duck breast with salt and citrus cooked to medium rare. But some people are a little turned off by a medium rare duck breast. So my dad and one of my hunting mentors, they religiously smoke their ducks. You know, at the end of season, smoke a bunch of ducks, and you have plenty of smoked ducks for gumbo. So,
well, that's great. So is this a duck and andouille gumbo?
It's not andouille. It's just a smoked pork sausage and then smoked chicken.
Oh, great.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Do you smoke the whole chicken or... tell me about how you prepare the chicken.
It'll all be smoked. The smoky flavor is kind of something that people, I guess, aren't necessarily used to in gumbo, but it complements it well. Mm-hmm. And I actually was invited to cook at the Louisiana Pipeliners Gumbo Cook-Off in Brobridge, Louisiana, a month or so ago. And I was not even thinking of it as competition. I was just excited to go and cook the gumbo amongst some people in South Louisiana. I didn't think I stood a chance, to be honest, because those are people who cook gumbo all the time. I kind of started packing up and leaving, and the group I was with, I was like, all right, I'm going to let y'all handle this. You know, I'm going to go on home. And they called me and they said, you're gumbo one.
Wow. Right.
I was like, it won. You're gumbo one first place.
Now, that is impressive to win amongst a bunch of South Louisianans.
I was like, I think you're kidding.
Will people be able to sample this gumbo at Sip and Save, or are you demonstrating?
No, they're going to be able to sample it. I'll have small portions for everybody.
Well, tell us, Tori, where people can find you online and visit your videos and your site and such. I know a lot of people will be interested in hooking up with you and following your work.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Most of my communication takes place on Instagram, and it's the_gathering_girl.
And gathering doesn't have a G at the end, correct?
That's it. Yep, that's the trick. No G at the end of gathering. And then on Facebook, Victoria Loomis. And then my website is thegatheringgirl.com. I don't do as much on my website anymore as I used to. It's kind of become just a docking place for my Instagram stuff to go. But I should definitely update it.
Yeah, in the 2 or 3 minutes of downtime that you have.
Right.
Well, we're really excited that you're coming to Meridian for Sip and Savor on April 6th. We look forward to that. And I know the folks over in Meridian are real excited about having you. So I think that's a great deal. And now that we know what the dish is, Carol, the smoked duck and sausage gumbo, I may have some people riding with me over there. Well, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you all so much.
Absolutely.
I'm so
good
excited to get down to Meridian. And I'm amongst a ton of stellar chefs. So it's an honor to be coming there and joining everyone. I can't wait.
Yeah, it looks like a great lineup. So everybody who's interested, again, April 6th, Meridian, downtown at the Max. Sip and Savor, I think this is like year 5 or so. I think it started in 2019. But anyway, the headline chef this year is Chef Victoria Loomis, Tori, we call her. And thank you so much for being with us today. And we'll see you on April the 6th.
Yes, thank y'all. Looking forward to it.
That was our conversation with Chef Tori Loomis, again, who's headlining the Sip and Savor event this Saturday in Meridian, alongside of lots of other fantastic Southern chefs. We're glad you are here. It's April Fool's Day. Good morning, my favorite fool. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Mal.
How you doing over there?
Just thinking about what kind of trick I can play on you.
I bet
today.
You're working on that, aren't you?
I'm working.
We have a caller on the line. Bill is calling in from Oxford. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. I believe you guys created Cumlep sauce and how am I?
Man, that's a great answer. However, Comeback was originated at the Rotisserie restaurant at Five Points in Jackson. You were close. But it was Nick Dennery from the Dennery family that actually first came up with the recipe. But we have certainly copied that and used it throughout the years at Hal and Mal's, as well as many others have.
Nobody makes it better than you guys.
Oh, man, thank you so much.
I agree with you, Bill. I'm a fan.
And we thank you for listening, and we appreciate you calling in this morning.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to our buddy John Mohead, who has an event himself in Ocean Springs this Saturday called Delta Rising. And we will take a short break, and Deep South Dining will return in just a few. Welcome back to Deep South Dining right here on MPB Think Radio. We are glad you're here. It is April Fool's Day. And Carol, you ain't no fool.
I ain't no fool, Mel.
How's it going?
It's going good. I wanted to share a notable passing with you and our listeners. Britton Gammel, who was the co-founder with her husband of the infamous Fat Mamas in Natchez, Mississippi, passed away last week. And, you know, she and her husband opened what became an iconic restaurant and draws people from near and far to eat their famous tamales and tamale pie. And
they had that margarita
and
mix.
They experienced the Fat Mama's Knock You Naked
oh, yeah.
margarita.
forgotten the name, but how could I?
Well, I first met Britton when she came and started bottling the Nike Naked Margarita Mix and brought some by the Everyday Gourmet, my store, and we sampled them with some girlfriends, with Jill Connor Brown and Pippa Perry Jackson, and the rest is history. It became a standard of the Sweet Potato Queens, and Fat Mama's Nike Naked Margarita Mix has been around for a while now, but I just wanted to honor Britton and to express our condolences to her family and remind everybody to stop by Fat Mama's, have some tamale pie, some of their chili, and the famous fire and ice pickles.
Yeah, I love those things.
I love those things. You can buy them around here. I saw them at
Flora Butcher
has them. Yep.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. John Mohead is with us. John is an old friend, a fantastic musician, and a cultural warrior. He lives on Moon Lake up in the Delta, and he's put together a fascinating event that will be held this Saturday in Ocean Springs. John, how you doing, man?
I'm really good, Malcolm. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you. Tell us what's going on. What is this Delta Rising?
Man, you know, a year ago, I was driving probably from, you know, Indianola south, and I noticed all these dead 400-year-old cypress trees. And the next day, I was driving to Memphis and saw these 600-foot windmills and wind turbines, and I just thought, man, the Delta, as I knew it, you know, as we grew up with, is just, you know, sneaking away. And so we did an event in Oxford with Wayne Andrews and the Yagam Thapa Arts Commission, and great success. It's basically, we just celebrate what is good with the Delta that we, know, which is the food, the music, the art, the culture, and it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, what comes first, the food or the music, or the music or the food? So we don't have, white coat chefs. We have, family cooks, grandmothers, daughters, nephews, and they're, cooking this food with love for, recipes that have been passed down from, generation to generation, and it's just, pretty unique. Mix that with some Delta music.
So the event is this Saturday, the 6th, at in Ocean Springs, right?
At the Mary C. O'Keefe Theater.
Yeah. And is the format sort of, for lack of a better description, sort of like Thacker Mountain Radio?
Similar. We've got a director, Jenna Welch, from San Francisco, who is with StoryWorks. And she's kind of been whipping us into shape for this one. Some dialogue, not really skits, but some theatrical exchanges on stage and interspersed with the music.
That sounds fabulous. What about the food? What's happening there?
Well, we've had Lebanese food represented by Georgia Wilson in Oxford, and in this one also. Georgia Wilson Abraham, I should say. We'll have some tabbouleh. John Wong is probably going to be doing some fried pork skins, crackling for us. We've got a tamale maker from Hernando, a woman by the name of Dorothy Hardy, who was taught by her mother-in-law how to make hand-rolled tamales. Mm-hmm. And she did it to appease her husband. Her husband loved them, and they couldn't find good tamales around Hernando. So, they're doing them herself, and they're wonderful. And then we've got Italian. You can't have, Italian
have
in
Delta,
the Delta
Italian.
Without Italian. Yes, Mary Lee Borgononi is doing that. She's right here beside me. She can tell you what she's going to cook.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Good morning, guys.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
We're good. Hey, Mary Lee. We can't wait to hear about this.
All right. Well, I'm sure excited to be a part of this event. I think that Delta Italian history goes back quite a bit, and most people familiar with the Delta region are familiar with the good Italian food here. And I have been very lucky to have been taught by my grandmother with recipes that have been passed down through a few generations. This time I'll be presenting some ravioli in a red sauce with a stufato recipe that's been passed down. And I'll be doing a fazelli as well, which is like a batter-based cookie that's done in a really delicate press. And instead of serving them traditionally as a flat fazelli, I'm going to do a little turn on it with some Southern Italian cuisine inspiration, doing a cannoli filling in it. So we're going to have some fazelli cannolis to feature, a little something savory and a little something sweet.
Oh, sounds delicious. So are these recipes that you grew up making? Is that right?
They are. My grandmother, Barbara Curcio Borgononi, had me in the kitchen as, you know, a young child, and it's still a family tradition to get together and do ravioli and meat sticks and Easter pie for every holiday. I've been fortunate enough to be able to share my food with my community, and I cook for people privately and have catered a few events, and it's really been something close to my heart that I have a passion for, and I think that it translates really well into my food and product. It's cooked with love and with a bunch of history behind it.
Wow. So did you cook at the Oxford event as well?
I didn't. This is my first time being brought on, and
okay.
I'm appreciative for John for bringing me on, and I think that we have a great representation of like the melting pot of what the Delta is. You know, a lot of Mediterranean influences, a lot of Asian influence, and of course soul food. I know Miss Trish Berry will be helping us as well. So it looks like we're going to have quite the feast for people that come to join us. I think that there's nothing better than a little Southern spread and hospitality.
Ah, it sounds terrific.
Well, Trish Berry is a fine cook from Indianola, Mississippi, so she will be a great addition.
I think that Trish is very well respected. I certainly look up to her and look forward to her helping me along the way. She's definitely inspired me a lot to kind of get out there and get my feet wet in some larger events.
So, John, can you give us sort of the lay of the program? Again, it is this Saturday in Ocean Springs at the Mary C. What should people expect if they come in terms of the program?
Well, you know, we've tried to incorporate like a Delta cocktail party and then just a Delta backyard party. And then, you know, so you'll come in. We've have libations. We have the samplings of all this Delta food. You could try from each station what you'd like. If you really, really like it, you can purchase some to take home.
Okay.
And then you meander your way into the theater, and you get your ears serenaded by Fish Mickey on piano. And
now that's worth driving to Ocean Springs for. Fish Mickey on the piano.
Absolutely.
Oh, and not just it's the baby grand piano. I mean, it's like we're all like.
Now
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are you performing as well?
I am. We've got actually four vocalists. We're not making it about any one person. We're all just kind of doing our part. We all do a couple of songs. We're doing somewhat of a tribute to our brother, Duff Dura.
That's right.
We're doing a couple of Tangent songs, a couple of Duff songs that he wrote. And, celebrating what we, you know, what we went through, you know, what we lived through in the Delta in the 80s, 90s, and, you know, in Fish's case in the 70s.
All right. So did you tell me that Super Chicken is on the program?
Super Chicken closes the show out, yep.
Wow.
Sure does.
That's quite a program you got there, buddy. So you said there will be like skits or dialogue, or there's a sort of a script. How does that all work?
We initially we were trying to think how we take Delta characters on the road. And then our director, Jenna, is like, well, you'll never get these people to follow direction and, and the script.
Which particularly after exactly the Delta cocktail party.
Exactly. So we decided to get Randall Andrews, who's, he was in L.A. for years, but he's from Clarksdale, and Edna Luckett, who's from Clarksdale. And they are, they're not really in character. They're themselves, but they, borrow and, some stories and dialogue from other Delta characters.
That's terrific. So that's this Saturday in Ocean Springs, Delta Rising. And I guess, can you give out information here, Carol?
Well, I'll say it's at, everybody says the Mary C. Only you and other, there are people all over Mississippi who don't know that that is the Mary C. O'Keefe Cultural Center.
Right.
Fondly known as the Mary C.
Correct. A former school with a fantastic auditorium and a great kitchen. It has a Viking kitchen in it and one of the finest little auditoriums in the state.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It sounds great in there, too.
Yeah. So, John, tell our listeners how they might join you. How would they go about procuring a ticket or what have you?
You can procure tickets by going to the Mary C. O'Keefe / events, and you'll see this impression of Robert Johnson, and that's our thing.
And you're home when you see Robert Johnson.
Delta Rising, yep. Okay. Or just go to the Mary C. website, and you'll see it.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot. Good luck on your event this weekend. The food sounds absolutely fantastic. What a great idea. Delta Rising, John Mohead. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Have a good one. You know, Carol, next week we're going to talk about crawfish.
I know you are, Malcolm, and I know how excited you are.
And you'll be out. And
I will be on a mini vacation.
I'll be in.
But I will be listening. I'll be listening because the crawfish needs to be covered in detail.
No doubt. And it's been kind of a tough year for the mud bug.
There's been a situation.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about proper ways to prepare the crawfish. Pat White, no relation. Pat White, great friend, is going to come on the show and co-host with me and talk about crawfish, seafood, and other things in the spring that we love to get excited about down here.
Makes me want to run home and make some crawfish etouffee.
Man, I'd love to have a big bowl right now.
Indeed.
So that's next week here on Deep South Dining. We appreciate all of our guests today. Tori Loomis from the Sip and Savor event in Meridian on Saturday night. We appreciate the Max and all the good work that they do and all of our friends and cohorts over in Meridian, the Queen City. So big event this Saturday. Also down in Ocean Springs, Delta Rising. John Mohead taking the Delta on the road, Carol.
Well, when you take it on the road with Fish Mickey, that's quite a happening.
Man, we're excited about that. And Super Chicken.
Super Chicken. Oh,
and,
my gosh.
All that food, the Italian food,
Lebanese food, yeah.
The Asian food, the soul food. That's a Delta for you. I'm getting hungry here on this radio show. But either way, we appreciate each and every one of our guests today coming on the show. We are Deep South Dining.
Indeed we are.
We are a production.
We're about the culture of Southern flavor.
We are, and people who love to stir the pot.
Exactly.
See? So there you have it. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us and for our callers. We appreciate you calling in always and listening. And, next week, as I said, Pat White will be here. Talk about crawfish. Carol will be away. I'll be alone with Pat. But we shall carry on. Just as a reminder, Deep South Dining is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Think Radio. We are funded by the generous contributions from listeners like yourself. And we never say thank you enough to our listeners who donate.
And also who listen.
Every week. We're live not only on Mondays, but we're rebroadcast on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m.
You know, it's so heartwarming to hear from people who are out there all over the state listening. I was at local 463 the other day, and a woman stopped me and said, "Are you on Deep South Dining?" I said, "Yes." And she said, I'm Carol Palmer." And she said, "Well, I heard your voice." And I went, "Oh, my gosh." I said, "I sound like Cousin Minnie Pearl." And she said, No.
Do you have a distinctive voice? You always say that. It's not true. You sound like Carol Palmer.
I do.
But, yes, it is exciting when people stop you and talk about the radio show and how long they've been listening. And some people say they listen on Sunday. Some love to podcast, which is great. We're so happy that all of our shows, the entire history of this program, is on podcast, Carol.
And
there's
Malcolm,
no running
do you know
and hiding
that in
from
April
it.
We will have been doing this for 5 years.
Five years.
Unbelievable.
I don't do anything for 5 years.
I know.
And so it goes. Our show is produced by Marissa Vaughn and Java Chapman. Marissa, we're glad to have you. We haven't formally introduced you, but our co-producer now, Marissa Vaughn, welcome to our show and thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And thank you for all your hard work. For my co-host, Carol Palmer, I'm Malcolm White. We ask that you now stay tuned for Marshall Ramsey's show entitled Now You're Talking, followed by Southern Remedy at 11. And again, we ask you to join us next Monday right here for more Deep South Dining and every Sunday morning at 9 for more Deep South Dining. Thanks to our guests, Tori Loomis and John Mohead. We are Carol Palmer and Malcolm White, and we will see you next time.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.